Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Welcome back to Okla Said. It is the official Okla Ed podcast. Welcome back, or if it's your first time, welcome. See, I didn't use the back that time.
Welcome to. If it's your first time, welcome to.
Welcome also.
Welcome as well.
I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. Welcome to
the Okla Said podcast.
I am Erin Barnes, and this is Scott Hazelwood. You can find us on the Twitter at ebarnes73 or at teachfromhere. You can also follow the podcast on the Twitter sphere, and we are at Okla Said.
Hey, I think this is pretty cool news I'm about to share.
I would like to hear it.
Do you want to hear the cool news?
I want to hear the cool news.
I texted you this cool news a couple of days ago, I believe. But the cool news is Okla Said will be having a live podcast session. Woo! And that'll be occurring at the Encyclomedia OTA conference coming up in November. So, yeah, Okla Said live.
I'm really excited about that. You guys should definitely come to our session and listen and see just how bad we are in real time. And I mean, how awesome we are in real time.
You said bad, but what you meant was bad. Like
bad to the bone.
Yeah.
Like Michael Jackson's bad.
Yeah.
You know what bad?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Shamo.
So this week's Twitter chat was hosted by the most brilliant educator I've ever seen.
I mean, if I were to rank out my top educators of all time, the first 8 spots would be filled by this amazing individual.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
This person is not only beautiful on the inside, mm-hmm. but let's be honest, she has a face for radio.
No, oh, you just stole that from me a minute ago.
I know. That was a really good one. I did it. I hosted this week's Twitter chat.
Oh, I was thinking of somebody else then. I'm sorry.
Because I'm crying. Okay.
I just have a sip of my Yoda mug.
So this week's Twitter chat was all about moving towards innovation. And no matter where you are now in the spectrum of innovation, we can always get better, right? We can always move towards more innovation. Yes?
Yeah. I'm going to say yes, but we need to be intentional with why we move towards innovation. We shouldn't just do it just because, oh, look at that shiny thing over there. I'm going to go get it. Ha ha, innovation.
Totally. No, but, you're totally right there.
But innovation in the form of this is going to be great for kids and their learning, or this is going to be great for me and my professional development. Innovation. Innovate away. Please do.
Please do it.
Please do it. Do it twice.
So should we dive in?
Yeah. Do we need to have an interview thing?
With myself?
Yeah, so...
Hold on 1 second.
Oh, okay, all right.
Hey, Erin. How's it going today? Well, I think it's going pretty great. It's a little bit rainy outside, but I like rainy weather. Well, that's awesome. I like rainy weather, too. What were your intentions for this chat? Well, the intentions for this chat... No, I'm ready to dive in.
Oh. Who are some of your edu heroes?
Who are some of my edu heroes? So, I really like Matt Miller, who is the Ditch That... textbook guy,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
I really like him. Ron Clark and Kim Bearden will always be, you know, kind of like the beacon that I achieve to be someday with their amazing, the amazing ways they present to kids through music and projects. And I don't know. Gosh, I like a lot of different people, but in the Oklahoma world, I've got some pretty awesome people that I look up to.
Well, you should share so we can all look up to them.
Yeah, one of them is you.
Oh, go on.
I really like what you do with gamification, and it honestly intimidates the mess out of me. I want to be as awesome as you, but I just can't be.
You're awesome in your own ways, though.
So, thank you.
Yeah, there's things that you do that terrify the living daylights out of me, like having all those children in your home of every grade level and moving them all forward. I could never do such a thing.
I love Annie Beck. I love
me too.
Vanessa Perez.
Doubles.
I love Kindergarten Rocks. What's her real name? It just escaped me.
I see her avatar.
I know.
In my head. Purple hair.
Her purple and blue hair. She is stinking amazing. If you don't follow her on the Twitter, she's at Kindergarten Rocks on ROX on the Twitter. The things she does with her little kiddos are super awesome. And I didn't get that certification for a reason, because I don't like boogers or hugs or teachers.
Boogers.
She does really good things that make me sometimes think about being a littles teacher, like for real, you know. Mm-hmm. She's got it going on. Anyway, so
pretty much Okla Ed
heroes right now. Yes, pretty much Okla Ed, all of Okla Ed.
What was your favorite question?
Oh, my favorite question. I liked asking people where they are within that graphic that I shared, and that graphic came from Jennifer Gonzalez from The Cult of Pedagogy, and I've seen it a million times, but I just really liked how pretty hers was and simple it was. Anyway, I liked where people were self-assessing where they were at in there. That one was, so I guess that was question one, I think.
Well, yeah, what was your motivation for this chat?
Annie Beck said, would you host a chat?
That Ann Beck, I tell you what, she's an arm twister.
She is an arm twister. No, I told her I would, because there were some empty spots in September, and I hadn't in a while. But I really like this one because I just like thinking about how to get better at things, and not necessarily using new technology or anything, but just innovating yourself, your pedagogy, your approach to scaffolding, just taking something to the next level. I like chats that go in that direction.
So have you been thinking about why innovation is important to talk about? Or was that when Anne asked you to host, you're like, oh, I got to come up with something fast.
Here it is. No, I do. It is important to talk about. I think that, like you said, innovation for the sake of innovation is not good. And, I've sat down with some people, you know, interviewing people in the past. And one of them was Kenneth Ward, and when he was still principling around, you know. One of the things he said, he was like, you know, my poor teachers, sometimes I run them ragged because I do see use in something, and I'm like, all right, this is our next thing, and we're going to go for it. And they almost get innovation fatigue sometimes. And so, like, innovation for the sake of innovation, not necessarily good. But honing in and improving and taking what you do to the next level, that is important. I don't think we should ever just kind of be stagnant, right?
Right.
Anyway, so yeah, it's always in my brain. How do we do this better? How do we get that better? How can we simplify? How can we be more efficient? How can we, you know, my brain just goes like that.
So where do you see yourself with innovation just in general? I know you asked some questions about, you had some questions on Twitter and different things, but where do you see yourself in innovation, and why do you see yourself in that spot?
I am probably not the innovator, maybe an early adopter, because I'm not typically the person that finds it, right? Or creates it. But I am the person, I'm always looking, I'm always researching. I'm always just into the education blogs, educational posts, you know, just reading and watching. And so I'll see something and then I immediately want to try it. I like piloting. I like using my students as guinea pigs sometimes, and sometimes it's a week or two, and then sometimes it's some semester long. Sometimes, like with the podcasting, we're a couple of years in, and it's working out really well. Actually, they're starting their third year of podcasting, so that's wicked awesome, right? And we've seen that they've learned so much more through these discussions than they have with, you know, reading intentions, having discussions, and then moving on. I don't know why. Probably because, I don't know, these guys know that the conversation at the end, the recorded conversation at the end, is the test. So they're really trying to learn it. They know they're not allowed to use their notes, so they really are trying to learn it. And man, I mean, I told you maybe privately, or maybe I've said it on the podcast before, when I took my students to DC and New York, our tour guide was asking questions that I'm pretty sure he was expecting nobody to answer. And they were like, they were showing him up, you know, they were answering all the questions and really doing it. And we hadn't, we hadn't done any podcasting for about 3 weeks at that point. So it wasn't like they were just memorizing it for the test. They were really, you know, letting that information sink in. And so I think it, you know, that was one innovation where I just took learning the same content to a different level, and it really made a huge difference. So
how do you think you'll use innovation this year in your new role as an administrator?
That's a really good question. One that I'm not sure I've had much time to ponder, but I do kind of hope to, I don't know, a little bit be the muse for the teachers, for like their vehicle for thinking outside of the box. It's really easy to sit inside a box where we're at because it can be so daunting. But I kind of hope that I can share some of these things with them, and then it just expands, you know, versus going to the next level. I think it should expand.
Okay.
How's that?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
So anything else on innovation you'd like to share before we dive into the chat?
No, let's dive in. I don't like talking.
All right. So what was the first question?
Oh, question one. Oh, and did you see what Sherry Gately did here? Okay, so my first question is, what does innovation mean to you? Where are you within the given graphic, Baloo? What puts or keeps you there? And like, right out of the bat, Sherry Gately is like, Erin Barnes is breaking her own rules in Twitter chats. It's like, dang it, I knew that was going to happen. I did. I even texted you. I was like, hey, what do you think? Am I breaking the rule? And you're like, whatever.
I think my exact response was something along the lines of, Kimberly Blodgett does it, so you can do it too.
I just realized M-Dub learns. I don't know who
that's,
I said.
That's Mid-Dell.
Yeah, but who did I say who does that comment belong to?
You didn't grab that part.
I'll find it.
Read the tweet.
Okay. Somebody said, innovation to me means being willing to try new things and not be afraid of failure. I would say I'm somewhere between early adopter and innovator. I think coming from outside of education helps keep me here a lot of the time. And so I really liked that tweet because he said exactly what I was thinking with Urshi, whoever, said, just being willing to try new things, they may turn out horrible, but if you don't try, you won't know.
Let's see.
Did you find it?
Yeah, but I can't find. Oh, it was Todd Gregg.
Of course it was.
Mr. Gregg.
Who's also kind of amazing.
Yeah, so there is that. I went with Chong C. Lore here, and he is at Chong2087. He said, innovation equals transformation. I'm not even on this chart, but I will get there. And somebody responded to him and said, no, Chong, you're on there. Chong, you're on that chart somewhere.
Yes.
And I would say just the simple fact that you're in this conversation right now means you're more towards the front of the chart on the right than you are to the laggard side of the chart on the left.
Right. Correct.
So there you go. That was what I think. Question two, when it comes to Twitter chats or the Okla Ed chat circa 2013, where do you see yourself within this bell? What brought you here?
So the chart was a bell.
It's a bell curve, and it looks just like the bell curve you see when you talk about whatever education-related grading system you're using. And on the one side of that chart, you have the innovators and then the early adopters and then...
Early majority,
late majority, and all the way to the very other end of which are the laggards, the people that just don't want to do. And really, it's like 2% laggards, 2% innovators, and everybody else is in the middle.
Cheese.
Yeah. So, and the Oakland Ed Chat did develop in February of 2013. So that's how long it's been around.
When did you start joining in?
I joined in later in 2013. So.
Okay, I was like January of 2014, so almost a year later.
Okay.
That's, I'm not an innovator.
Well, and two, I wonder if that doesn't mean that you're not an innovator. It just means that you didn't know about it.
True. Okay, I see what you're saying.
So,
well, I chose John Bennett on this one. He says, I guess I've always been seeking to be engaged with innovation at whatever level possible, always salivating with love him with true innovation where opportunity exists. Chancing into early chats, I liked the topics, questions, answers, and have been involved since. And so, like, he found us based on a chance and has been involved for a very long time.
Through a move from Connecticut to Virginia.
Yeah.
And I think he found Okla Ed before I did. He's probably been in more chats than you or I. He hardly ever misses.
He's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I missed on Sunday. I did get in. I think we're going to address that a little later, but I did sort of get into the chat. The missus.
You did, but.
The missus was wanting some bookshelving, some shelving done in our one of the rooms that we have in our house, a little closet. And I was trying to get that sucker done so I could actually have Monday off because I'd spent almost all day Saturday on it and most of the day on Sunday because dang, anchoring stuff into sheetrock is hard.
It is hard.
Ugh. Anyway, I went with Todd Gregg on this one. He's at Mr. Gregg. He said, I'm in the late majority when it comes to Twitter chats. I first saw my superintendent participating and joined him fairly quickly. I would have been more to the beginning of this curve had I known the chat existence. And I think,
right.
I think for people that have landed here that just didn't know about it fall into that category, but I don't know that it means necessarily that they're late majority. Now, they could be late majority using Twitter for professional development purposes.
Right. Well, but, and I was just trying to place when did you get started here?
Right. Like how long have you been going on this?
They were a laggard or
right,
anything.
Right. But there are people like the actual chat itself, for those that don't know, came out of an EdCamp session in 2013. And the hashtag Okla Ed actually developed as a conversation between Coach Heim, Coach 57. Is it Coach 57, right?
Yeah.
Kevin Heim and Oklahoma Education Truths, who at the time was anonymous. So which that turned out to be Dr. Rick Cobb. So the Okla Ed hashtag developed between them in January, and then in February of 2013. The EdCamp session created the Twitter chat, which has evolved a little bit from its original launching into what it is today. So they used to have the third Sunday used to be a voted on topic, sort of like EdChat does.
Okay.
But they haven't done a voted topic in a long time. So anyway, there you go. A little quick brief history.
Thank you. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
For that.
You're welcome.
Well, question three, teachers. What is the makeup of your classroom? Does it reflect the same sort of distribution as seen on the bell curve? Admin, in what specific ways do you support your innovators and early adopters to help keep pushing them forward? And so, I guess that the distribution inside the classroom was real. I see most of those students as tech natives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of swimming around in the technology and ready for new, ready for different. So I would think that it would not necessarily look quite bellish there.
Well,
you think?
The thing is, though, you know, we have this whole digital natives, digital immigrants view, and I don't necessarily discredit that, but just because I'm a digital native doesn't mean I'm being innovative with what I'm doing. So the argument can be made that because I use my phone to do Facebook instead of my computer to use Facebook doesn't necessarily mean it's an innovative way to use Facebook.
Yeah.
But if okay. If I use Facebook in a way where I'm creating content and creating knowledge and learning, well, that's different than just taking a selfie of my food and sharing it like everybody else does. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I think that... I think the argument can be made that there's different ways that we use it between digital natives and digital immigrants.
Okay.
But I would also argue that just because digital natives have the thing by, you know, doesn't necessarily mean it's an innovative use of the thing.
Who did you choose on this one?
So I chose Jennifer Seitzinger on this one. She said I teach her, but I'm pretty sure she meant I teach kindergarten. Students still have that creative spark that school sometimes snuffs out, but I would say the distribution is similar. You always have the risk takers and those who want to play it safe. And that part is true. You do have risk takers versus those who play it safe.
No, totally. I do try to push my kids that like to play it safe a little bit because I don't want to push them outside of their comfort zone too far, but I do want them to grow.
I told my... You know, so I'm teaching some pre-service teachers this semester and they have to teach lessons in class. And I go, I want you to take a risk. Creating a PowerPoint for your lesson is not taking a risk.
Right.
So, amaze me.
Give me something.
Yeah.
I went with Sherry Gately on this one. Okay. She says, my students are all over the place, but when given the opportunity to shine, through an avenue that they love, I would say more art innovators. It's mm-hmm. about helping them find their voice.
Yeah.
Hashtag Oakley Ed, hashtag I have the best kiddos.
Wow. That's a pretty bold statement there, Sherry, because I'm pretty certain there are other educators who quote hashtag have the best kiddos. Okay, so what kind of energy do you put into your laggards or late adopters in your class hallway or building? How do you keep them from bringing others down? And Ann Beck had said something, and I didn't pick her tweet, but she had commented before that, oh my gosh, the time I've wasted on laggards who just aren't going to move. I won't ever get that time back, and now I'm being more intentional with who I work with. And I feel her pain on that because I also have worked with people who just aren't going to move no matter what, you know? And as much as I want to try and convince them that once they take those two or three steps, a whole new world is going to open to them, unless they're ready and willing to do that, after I've shared some ideas, time to move on to the next thing. But at the same time, I don't want to just spend all my time with early majority adopter or early majority people either.
No. Because sometimes there's a reason for the process. Anyway, and so on that note, I went with a Seth Meyer tweet here. He said, I don't see laggards as drainers. Push the relationship aspect so it gets harder for them to say no. Some people have never been empowered or given mm-hmm. permission to look past the box. And I thought that was really brilliant and kind of put me in my place, and I liked it.
Yeah, that was a good one. And I would also add to that, too, that some teachers has just been pounded into us to not take any risk at all.
Yeah.
So immediately what you're going to do is just anchor into what you've done for 15 years.
Right.
And that doesn't mean they're a bad teacher either. It just means they're not being innovative.
It means they're a horrible teacher.
I didn't say that. All tweets go to ebarnes73. But it just means they may not be very innovative. In which case, we step back in time when we go into their classroom and we recognize their amazing teacher skills for what, you know. But yeah, I don't know. They're not necessarily an anchor. But I would push back a little bit on Seth and go, if you got two or three or four laggards that aren't budging, depending on how they mesh with the rest of your bunch,
right.
Some of that angst could spread.
Seth's go to at @teachfrom.
So I went with Michelle Waters on this, and she is at Waters English. She said, frequently, students who are lagging behind do so because of educational self-esteem issues. This means I need to build them up, help them see they can make valuable contributions to the class. This is not easy to do, but I'm trying. It's sometimes it goes into that learned helplessness.
Yes.
You know, where you just learn to just be helpless, and no matter what, you can't get out of that mode of thinking.
Right. And she teaches a pretty difficult class. She does a lot of creative writing and, you know, just deep inside the self writing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's just easier to do history and science than open yourself up to that kind of vulnerability.
Yeah.
With what she does with her kiddos.
So. Right.
Well, question five, teachers. What does PD look like for you? Speaking through your classification, is PD differentiated enough for you? Admin, how do you differentiate your PD development to hit every one of your different audiences? And I thought this was a really important question because I know teachers who are going to the same old PDs, mm-hmm. you know, that they don't need or want. And I know administrators don't want their teachers bored out of their gourd, but also have things that they need to get done as well.
Right.
So I just wanted to see how people were doing this. And both of us picked a teacher. I'm going to go back and see if I can find administrators to answer that question.
Well, and I would say, too, just some of my thoughts on that are, yes, there's things that as an administrator you need me to know and understand. But at the same time, learning for any individual is important when that individual can choose learning that's important to them.
Right.
So I get that you need me as your teacher. I'm going to pick on close reading again because I had close reading after close reading after close reading session, and that's great. I wanted to be a better math teacher.
Okay.
So if you keep, I mean, you're not making all these faculty people go to be better math teacher things, and we could put math across the curriculum. Why not? I mean, we can talk about it in all the places where you totally have me talk agree. About reading. Like, you really could. I'm not trying to be bitter here. I'm just trying to say, sometimes as a teacher, I need to choose what I need because I know where I'm weak.
Right.
But I know that can be difficult to balance, too. I guess I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but I think if you can give your teacher some freedom to pick the things to meet their needs, I think your PD will be way more effective.
I agree. And I chose Vanessa Perez on this one because it's like she lives the dream over there sometimes. But she says, PD looks like whatever I want and need. Hello. Sorry, I was just trying to think of what that looked like, but I can't even imagine. I meant to take a carpentry class last summer and need to see about that this year. I love hands-on. But this year, Clear the Air and Coach 57 have given me a new appreciation for book studies. And I just I meant to take a carpentry class too last summer.
I think that's a hashtag. I think that's hashtag clear the air because I've noticed that she's had some conversations in that hashtag.
Okay.
I think is what it is. Yeah. I went with Todd Gregg again. I've been seeking out challenging PD from wherever I can find it from the beginning of my journey as an educator. I've sought my own course here and it has paid huge dividends for me. So.
Okay. So I just looked up the hashtag. Hashtag clear the air. I spoke up today when a T mentioned how few boys there were in AP English, and maybe that's just the way it is. I spoke up and we had a nice conversation about the systematic and cultural barriers, not as charged as race, but a good practice for starting these conversations. Shanna White, I'm curious. Hashtag clear the air, folks. And others starting this work, when you say you are sitting with an idea or thought, how long does that last? Jennifer Gonzalez from Cult of Pedagogy says, outstanding free guidebook from tolerance.org for how to address biased and bigoted comments, preparing to step away from comfortable. Thanks at Christy Nold for the reminder last night and Shanna White for reminder this morning, hashtag clear the air. So I have a feeling it's along those lines of of not necessarily race, like the first one said, but moving beyond biased thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting. If Cult of Pedagogy is in there, and if Vanessa Perez is in there, I think maybe I should lend an eye towards that hashtag.
No, I was thinking so too, Sam.
Because I respect what those two ladies do. Question says.
Wait, did you say who you chose?
Yeah, Todd Gregg. He saw it his own way.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, right. What is hashtag one cool thing you are doing within your classroom or building this year that will bring innovation to an identified need or specific item?
That's a great question. And see, I tried to use the hashtag one cool thing again. That was a thing last year.
It like comes and goes in spurts.
It does. So I was just trying to see. And I used it in the, I helped co-moderate the Khan Academy chat 2 weeks ago. And I used it there too, just trying to see if it would come back around.
Yeah. Did it?
Not yet.
Okay.
But maybe I'm just being an innovator or a super late majority.
I put that hashtag in an EdSurge article, I don't know, 3 years ago or something.
I know. It was a million years ago. I wanted to Sherry Gately tweet on this for two reasons. She had a great tweet. She says, I'm doing design challenges in my classroom, and we're talking about them as a building with the PCW Putnam City West Library. Cannot wait. Hashtag design thinking. And I just want to know more about that, first of all. And so that's why I chose this. But I also chose this one to throw a little shade her way because you and her were in some crazy side conversation and not a part of my chat for half the time. I'm not really frustrated. I was laughing my butt off that night because I kept getting all these notification dings, and you and her were in this conversation, and Todd Gregg popped in a couple of times, and so I picked this one and I put a comment out to the side. Oh, I think I'll pop back into this chat after 75 tweets with Scott Hazelwood. I was just funny.
What started all of that was she had said that Anne Beck had said something at the very beginning about, you know, steal like an artist. And
right.
And Sherry had something like, Hazelwood calls it ed thefting, or it was something not right at all. In fact, I'm going to the stream right now because it was absolutely hilarious.
We don't have time for your 2-hour conversation.
So what I said to her was, it's an edu steal. Let me pull it up here. It is right here, and so then it just went from there. So you responded, and it came back all to the questions, mm-hmm. and so then it was like, and these were all hashtags, hashtag yeah. edu proofreading, hashtag edu liar, hashtag edu too far, hashtag edu oops, hashtag edu thread of the year. Then Aaron popped in. There's an edu chat going on over here. Sherry says,
and then Sherry's like, you forgot the hashtag.
She goes, edu excuse me. And yeah, and then forgot you forgot the hashtag, so I go, edu saucy. And then it was just, and then Todd Gregg jumps in, edu roasted. And it just goes on, and edu can't handle the truth. So Sherry, Todd, and I just had the best time.
With all these edu hashtags. I was like, I would have totally hung out with you guys, but I was like,
and then Aaron, you jumped in again with edu lol, but you forgot the hashtag. So you had two really good ones. But you were busy chatting, and anyway, it was funny.
It was funny.
We had a good time over there.
I'm sure you did. I always miss out on the cool kids exercises.
Yeah. Side chats. Anyway, I went with Chong again on this one. He said, advanced... No, I love this tweet. He said, in my advanced literature class, there are no quizzes or tests, only reading, listening, and discussing the content we read. Why? I tell my students, literature is meant to be loved, not tested.
Oh, my gosh!
Kids do not seem to enjoy reading anymore. I'm trying to change that.
Boom!
I was like, yes. And you know, there came later, and I can't remember if it's in this chat or another one. A lady had posted, you know, we don't tell the band people not to practice their instruments in band class. Why would we not tell our English people not to practice reading in, you know, in their reading class?
Exactly. Exactly.
Anyway.
All right. That was a great tweet.
Yeah.
Q7, not a question, but a task. Go through the answers on Q6 and give a piece of advice if you've been in those shoes before, or comment on why you love their hashtag one cool thing. Mingle with your Oakland tweeps.
I just want to go back to another hashtag that Sherry had in our edu.
Well, I told you to go back and check over there.
She said, edu, don't forget the hashtag or it didn't happen. and then that was followed by Todd Gregg. With Aaron's affinity for swearing in chats and on the podcast, hashtag edu explicit. And I have followed that with hashtag edu potty mouth. And Sherry said, edu hide yo kids.
Hide yo kids.
Okay. So anyway, back to one cool thing in mingling. See, we were mingling.
You were so mingling. Great job. I picked Kim Blodgett on this one.
Yeah.
I really liked this one. She says, I go and offer to read to other classes as a reward, or go read to the principal. It's always a big hit. And so she sends her kids to other classrooms or to the principal's office to read. I like that.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. Twyla Hester, now this was in response to sort of a conversation where that was going on between Twyla Hester and Shawnee Sup. And Twyla said, I love the GPS idea. Now, what this was from was Shawnee Sup saying, it'd be great if we could put GPS on buses so parents knew exactly where their kids were in transit to and from school. That's a great idea, right? So Twyla said, I love the GPS idea on the buses. We're looking at this concept. I may have our transportation director reach out to your transportation director. Boom. So
I like it.
So here's two people that aren't necessarily in the same, they're not even in the same bubble, really. I mean, because Twyla's on the southwestern side of Oklahoma City and Shawnee Sup is in Shawnee, which is an hour east.
Right.
So it's not like they cohabitate in a similar area in that way. And bang, because of Okla Ed and because of what's getting shared here, these school districts are benefiting each other. And I think that's awesome. That is innovative.
No, I think so too. I do too. Question 8.
Yeah. What is hashtag one cool thing you found an answer in A6s that you might be interested in trying or doing? When could you begin working on or toward this thing?
So I didn't realize when I put that in there how hard it would be to find tweets for some of these things.
You know, sometimes trying to go back and scroll.
Like,
yeah. Mine was, again, I went with Todd Gregg. I love Room 20 Awesome's idea of using students to train teachers and using tech in the classroom. I am a site ed tech this year for my building this year and would love to possibly implement this. And the thing is with teachers, we just sometimes need to take off our we need to know everything hat and go, I can get you started. Then you show me how to do cool stuff.
Exactly. No. Yes, that's exactly right. I went with Steve Gilliland, and I don't know who he was referencing here, but he says the importance of focusing on others, which I mean, it would have been a perfect tweet for him anyway with the whole servant leadership and, you know, servant mindset. So I thought that that was a great tweet for him to find. Q9. Recognizing your innovators and early adopters can help you move your idea into action or take it to the next level. Recognize your go-to innovators now, right here. Call them out. Show them off. And so I didn't pick one for this. My idea with this tweet is like, I don't remember which one I was answering, or maybe I was answering this one whenever I put my answer out there. But like, you and Annie are the people that I run ideas by for education, and my husband as well. You three are like my go-to people for running ideas, and you guys really kind of help me reel it in. Like, yeah, that's a great idea, and then we've got the fish.
Right.
Or you're like, cut the line. It's time to let that one go.
Yeah.
You know. So
move along. Like, nothing to see here.
Yes, exactly.
I think sometimes it's hard to pick favorites out on this one because
Yes.
You know, how do you say that one tweet is better than another when you're sending praise different ways?
To one person or two people.
Yeah. And I think sometimes it's hard for us as educators to single somebody out because we don't want to forget somebody and maybe have hurt feelings, which I get too. But
so I just failed you all over the place here.
Did you really?
Huh?
You failed me?
Yes, because of the question thing. I never left it out.
I never noticed. I went with Todd Gregg. He said, I'm like the hashtag edupirate, hashtag edusteal when it comes to this. So way too many to name. I am always ready to coach and help with others, though. And I like that. And I think in a lot of ways, a lot of the ideas that you and I have had and even that some of the people that we sort of look up to have, I don't know that any of us are necessarily the creator or innovator of that idea, but we grab a thought of an idea from somebody else and we morph it into our thing, and then we share it and somebody else sees that and morphs it into theirs. So it's not necessarily that we created that thing, but sort of like what Todd's saying here, hashtag edupirate. You know, it's on the lookout for the booty.
Which leads us to question 10.
Q10.
Yeah.
Most good ideas come from somewhere. Tag some tweets that you always beg, borrow, or steal from. That aside, are you willing to coach or lead others in your innovative idea? Oh, dang, I picked Todd's question 10 for question 9. So I also picked Chong for question 10. So take that, a double pick. And he said, I take from anyone and everyone, mostly Dr. Laura Searcy. She's amazeballs. She's awesome. And she's at Mrs. Searcy 112. I need more experience before I can coach and lead others, but my time will come. Did you hear that?
I did hear that. I really like that. Come.
But Chong, listen, Chong, don't discount Chong, yourself Chong, right your now. Your time is here. Your time is here right now.
Exactly. I mean, did you hear your awesome tweet from a minute ago?
I accidentally picked 2 tens and no
nines. That's all right. Yeah. Well, I picked John Bennett on this one.
Hashtag edusteal.
He said, I consider myself an equal opportunity leech. Yes, I'm always seeking for opportunities to coach or mentor. I liked that.
I like Dr. Bennett.
Yes. Boom sauces.
Oh, look, Aaron, you have a boom sauce in there.
I know. I'm like after, on a three-week
After a few
streak.
Weeks of not getting them in there, now you got them in there.
Yep.
Who'd you pick?
I picked Kim Blodgett on this one. She says, I think maybe one not cool thing all schools should do is have teachers ride the bus routes one day. We need to see with our own eyes where students come from. This is what makes empathetic teachers. You think you know students. You don't until you see it. And I really liked that tweet. I thought it was super meaningful. Because you really don't know. You don't know.
And, I mean, honestly, unless you could go a week in their shoes and sort of be a fly on the wall.
Right.
Because, I mean, yes, we can ride the bus, and it may be into the grimiest neighborhood, but that house could be full of love, and we wouldn't know.
Exactly.
And we could also ride the bus to the most fabulous of mansions, and the kids walk in, and the family life's a train wreck.
Exactly.
But just seeing interaction on the bus, seeing how the kids are on the bus, seeing how long it takes for them to get from school to home, what do they have to do when they get off the bus, where are they walking, what are they walking into? Yeah, there's so much that we could learn from that. And that would be hard. That would be not cool, because that's extra time out of a teacher day to do that.
Right.
But could provide a lot of insight.
Who'd you pick?
I went with old Sherry Gately here.
The Cool Kids Club.
Hashtag edu Cool Kids Club. She said innovation means stepping outside your comfort zone, thinking outside the box, and trying really crazy ideas to engage students. I like that because everything she said right there, none of that referenced technology.
Nope, none of it.
So you could still be innovative without technology. And I know I gave you a hard time last week when we were talking about it and you said get out your pencil. But you can be innovative without a computer or a phone. And then she goes on to say, I think I'm leaning towards innovating an early adapter phase, not scared of taking risks, just don't always have the resources necessary.
Boom.
Bang on. So there you go. So there's the old,
you know what?
You have a mom and you're face froze. And now you're back.
I have a mom.
Good deal.
No, I was going to say, Miss Sherry Gately is hosting this next Twitter chat.
Ooh, I believe this is a firsties.
I am really excited. I'm really excited.
Yeah, hashtag edu first timer.
I think she has no worries because she's going to do amazing.
I think it'll be super fabulous. You'll have to interview her too. You'll have to get caught up in your interviews.
I know.
You got to interview Tina. Got to interview Cass. You got to interview yourself. Maybe you can interview yourself and have Travis read back in falsetto.
Okay. You'd be like, maybe so,
Aaron, what made you think of the thing? Well, the other day I was coming home.
Oh my goodness. No. That's okay. Not going to happen at all.
All right. Good talk.
Okay. All right.
All right. Oh.
All right, educators. You know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
And don't forget to join us at 8 o'clock on Sundays for the Oakla Ed Twitter chat.
Jumped the gun a little there, didn't I?
Yeah, it's okay. And I got that.
I don't see you.
There's me.
There's you.
There's you.
I don't see me either.
There's me.
I don't see either of us.
I see you.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, OK.